Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad that Jesus has overcame? He is the overcomer. And because he overcome, you and I, we are overcomers. Amen. So grateful and thankful for the goodness, the power of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glad to see each and every one of you. Praying in the Holy Ghost, and he laid these verses of scripture on my heart. You know, so many times we hear a lot of scriptures over and over, but you know, it's not what we've heard, it's what we're hearing and it's what we're applying. Amen. You open up your Bibles to the Gospel of John chapter 11. I want Brother Ryan to put about three verses on the screen because I want you to see something so you'll understand the direction the Holy Ghost is wanting to go this morning. Put first John chapter 4, verse 17, Brother Ryan first. Y'all keep turning to the Gospel of John chapter 11. We'll pull our foundational text out of that 11th chapter. But in this epistle of 1 John, I want you to notice, you know, you've got a love that is being made perfect. You've got a love that's, in other words, being completed and grown in you. Because perfect love casts out all fear, perfected love, mature love. But I want you to look, because you don't have to worry about the day of judgment. Come on, Jesus, he took your wrath. He took my wrath. And the day of judgment for you and I will be at the Bema seat. And we're going to get rewards. Amen. And that's what it's going to be about for us. But I want you to look, because of that assurance that you're not worried constantly about messing up and going to hell. Your concern is reverencing the Lord, loving on the Lord, letting him love on you, and following the leadership of the Spirit. Look what it says. Because as he is, as Jesus is, so are we in the world to come. Right now. In the world to come, we have that assurance because we're going to look just like him, right? Because we're going to put on that glorified body. But in this world, right now, as he is. So why are we talking about this? Because the Spirit of God said, I want to remind my people who Jesus is to them and what Jesus has made them to be. He wants us to know exactly the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then because of your acceptance and participation in that mission, what that has made you to be. Amen. Brother Ryan, put Ephesians 2:6. Ephesians 2:6, we talk about this verse all the time, but we usually concentrate on the latter part of the verse. I want you to look at the first part, because this morning we're going to be talking about, now when I say this, we're talking about three R's of Jesus' resurrection. Not the three R's, because there's no such thing as the. These are just three R's out of the resurrection. They are so many. Amen. If we put the thee there, we're saying, well, hey, we've got them all. No, we're just starting to learn a little bit. Amen. So that's what we're going to be talking about. But look what it says. And hath raised us up, God, because of Jesus, and you're accepting that grace and putting faith in it, hath raised us up together. You've been raised just as Jesus overcome all the things of the flesh, and he was crucified. He went to a tomb and then he rose again, and you're placing your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Just as he rose, God considers you risen now. Thank God we know there's going to be a sounding of a trumpet, and we know in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you and I are going to be changed and we're going to have that glorified body. But in the meantime, God, he doesn't look at this moment. He looks at what he's done said. Now, why is this so important? Jesus walked past the fruitless fig tree, and he used it to teach his disciples, and he cursed that fig tree. And when they come back by it the very next morning, the disciples asked Jesus and said, look at the fig tree you cursed. It's withered. And he said, have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. He said, I saw it withered the moment I spoke it. As he is, so are we. Come on, you got to see what God is saying, and you got to see you've been raised up. Colossians 2:12, Brother Ryan, Colossians 2:12, just a second witness. Now, I'm just giving this to you. If you don't like it, you take it up with the Lord. Because all I did was sit there and as he spoke it to me, I gave it to Donna and Donna wrote it down. So you can ask her how this come. This come in a space of 15 minutes.
Thank you, Lord.
So there's no pressure on me. It's either you like it or you don't, you receive it or not. It doesn't matter to me. I want you to, but I'm not going to leave here depressed or unhappy. I'm going to leave here rejoicing. Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are what? Risen with him. Can you see yourself as he is, so are we in the earth. He's on the right hand of the Father, sitting in the place of victory. That's where you and I were seated with him, in the place of victory. Because of what he done for you and I, there is no doubt that we are overcomers. There is no doubt that we lay down our lives because he laid down his life for us. He named you his friends. Amen? That you are risen with him. How does this happen? Through, the word through in the New Testament is always going to be a channel. It's going to be an avenue. It's going to be your way of coming into the promise through the faith of the operation of God. Through the faith of the operation of God. Oh, if I only had enough faith. Did it say that? Through the faith of what? The operation of God. You just got to believe God. Is God faithful? God's faithful, amen? And he dealt to you, Romans 12:3, every man, woman, boy, and girl, the measure of faith. Come on. Who hath raised him from the dead. God raised Jesus from the dead. He looks at you and he considers you raised from the dead. You behold, 2 Corinthians 5:17, that you are a new creation, a new creature. Amen? All right, so we're going to look at three R's this morning. Now, write these down on the table of your heart. Put them in your notes if you want to. We're going to look. Number one, you've got to receive this truth. You and I, we've got to receive this. And you realize you can receive a little bit of truth or you can receive a lot of truth. And according to the truth that you receive is the freedom that you have. Amen. Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. I want a lot, don't you? After you receive that truth, and we preached on this as our opening scripture for last year, you got to be in the place where you reflect his light. Amen. You got to see that he's named you the light of the world. And lastly, number three, radiate. You got to radiate the love of God out of your life, out of my life, so it'll show people that we know a Savior that's more than enough. Amen. All right. So that's what we're going to look at. John chapter 11. For sake of time, you know this story. Jesus tarried while Lazarus was sick. He waited 4 days. He done it on purpose because he wanted to be able to teach not just Martha and Mary, but he wanted to teach you and I even today some truths that would not have happened. See, sometimes you have to wait. Jesus is always on time, but to us, we're waiting, He always has a purpose, and he does good things, and he has a good plan for your life and my life, and we have to trust that. For sake of time, I just want to read two verses, and you can read the preceding verses if you're not familiar with this. I know that aggravates some of you, but I've got to just follow what the Spirit puts on my heart, and I love you, and I hope you love me. Amen. John 11:25, and Jesus said unto her, talking to Martha here. Now mark this down in your Bible app, highlight it in your Bible. I am the resurrection and the life. I'm not a resurrection. I'm not a life. He said, I am the. Jesus is being so emphatic. In other words, what does that mean? He's being so forceful and so clear. There's no salvation in Buddha. There's no salvation in any God of this world. There's only salvation and life in one, and that is God's Son, the sinless Lamb of God, Jesus the Christ. Amen? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He or she, remember he named them both Adam, okay? We're all sons and daughters of God, but we're children of God. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Verse 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never what? We're talking spiritually. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he makes this statement. And that's a statement the Spirit of God is speaking to us. Believest thou this? Do you believe that this morning? Do you take God at his word? Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Lord, thank you for your presence in our lives. Lord, thank you for what you've been in service today. Lord, thank
yes.
Strong room and for live Lord. Lord, just as strong and got our attention to bring it.
Yes. That's right.
Let us stand and respect, Lord, let us secure out our minds and receive it and knowledge of the Lord and open our hearts, Lord, have it transferred, give us the ability.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you for honoring the word. Thank you for once again for being here. I want you to know that you have a place here. Aren't you glad that God designed you, put his heart, his vision, his love inside of you, and he placed you in this moment of time to be in a place where you could flourish. If there's any part in your life that you're not flourishing, you need to come back and ask the Lord, am I in the right place in the right time? Now, there's going to be seasons where we go through things and we go through dry seasons and there's trials and all of these things. But that trial is not meant to keep going on and on and on. You're meant to come out of that trial shining brighter and brighter and richer in the blessings and the truth and the love of God. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. All right, so let's look at this now. He said, Jesus said, this is what I am. But it doesn't matter what Jesus says he is if you and I don't take him at his word. He cannot lie. So when he tells me that he is the resurrection, he is the life, then I need to get in the mindset that anything else is a substitute. Anything else is less than God's best. And so I want to come into that place and I want to say, Lord, I want you to show me every area of my life that I'm not taking you at your word, that I'm not believing you. Amen. And when we have that humble attitude, we're in the place for all sorts of possibilities, but we're in the place for success. Amen. So you and I, we've got to come back, and I've got to say some things here that no one's going to go quite along with this, but you just hold on to it. Whether we understand it or not, you and I, we were born into sin. Come on, because of what happened at the fall of man in the garden, it doesn't matter how precious a little baby is. You know, if the Lord tarries and time keeps going on, they're going to come to an age of accountability. And when they come to that age of accountability, then just like Paul said, at one time, I had a relationship with God, Romans 7. He said, but all of a sudden, he said, I grew up. I come to knowledge, and he said, sin was revealed in my life, and I died. In other words, his spirit died. There was a separation. And so every one of us, we must be born again. It isn't anything about we must go to church. No. Thank God for church, and we need to go to church. And thank God that mom and daddy's saved, and thank God that grandma and grandpa's praying for us, all of these things. But it boils down to God is a father. He's not a grandfather. He has no grandchildren. And so you, the Spirit of God is talking to you this morning. And I'm telling you, you're coming into some things this morning that you're going to need the Holy Spirit to help you in. And he wants to help you. He wants to be a part of every part of your life. So you have to be born again. And it's so simple. Just simply, what do? We believe. You know, there's not no big formula. Man wants to complicate things. But the Bible says, if I believe in the heart and confess with the mouth, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, guess what? Yeah. I'm saved. Yeah. I'm born again. Amen. And so, that's what we want to do. So I want to look at some things this morning. Let's talk about receiving Jesus, the first R of this resurrection. Go to John chapter 1. I talk about this verse, read this verse, quote this verse, paraphrase this verse all the time. But let's read just a little bit more this morning. John 1 and 6. Let's start right there. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, of course, this is the precursor to the coming of Jesus, John the Baptist. And this is what the church is today. You and I, we are modern day John the Baptist. We're the precursor. We're to get people ready for the coming of the Lord. Amen. 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 Verse 7, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Now remember the light, capital L, talking about Jesus, that all men through him might believe. Verse 8, he, talking about John, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness, to testify, to make clear the light. Verse 9, that was the true light, Jesus was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, stay with me. Verse 10, he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. Isn't that sad? Think about there were about 8 billion people on the face of the planet right now as you and I are breathing and living and just enjoying life. And how many of them really know Jesus? Think about how many, we got all the Chinese people, and then you got right over from that, you got all the people in India, and they serve and worship all these gods. And they do it ignorantly. And God loves them. He has a plan for their life, and he wants them to be born again. He wants them to be saved, but that message has to go forth to them. Verse 10, he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. Verse 11, he came unto his own and his own received him not. In other words, there's a twofold message here. For sake of time, I won't even get into that. But verse 12, I want you to mark it down in your Bible, highlight it in your Bible app. But as many as received him, say he's talking about me. So the first R is reception. You and I, we've got to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons, the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. He gave them the power. Now this word power is a Greek word, exousia, and it means authority. This morning you've got authority. After you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you are born again, he gave you authority to act like a son and a daughter of God. That means everything that you've read in this Bible, everything that you've heard about that is biblical, everything, every example of what Jesus done in the earth, you have the authority to do that. In other words, you walk as God is your Father. You walk with the Holy Spirit now living in your spirit. See, sometimes you feel so lonely. There's darkness all around, and because people don't understand you, or people are judging you, or people are trying to put you in their form of what religion is. You know, you feel cut off. I'm talking to somebody this morning by the power of the Holy Ghost. God doesn't want you to feel that way. He wants you to know that he loves you, and he's not looking to make you feel dirty or feel bad about the past or about your sins. He's wanting to show you a better way. He's wanting to grab you in his arms and love you and let the blood of Jesus go all over you. Amen. We can relate to that, can't we? I have to have Jesus. Come on. The Bible doesn't say that when you and I get born again that we're not going to sin. We don't want to sin, and we get victory over sin as we walk with Jesus, but sometimes we mess up. But Jesus don't ever mess up. And he understands our temptation. He understands our struggles. And then he starts working in our lives, and he shows us with his love that, and because we're not fearful, but we run to him, we start overcoming greater and greater and start looking more like him in our everyday walk and talk. Amen. But Jesus said, I've gave you the authority to be my children. I've gave you the authority to talk like I talk. I've gave you the authority that every time you want to talk to me, I'll talk to you.
Yeah.
I've gave you the authority that you can come boldly to the throne of grace.
Amen.
And the Bible says that when you and I come with boldness and we come to the Lord in faith, that he will in no wise cast us out. But the Bible says if I come to him in faith, that he will reward me. How will he reward me? With his presence. And his presence always reveals his love. And his love always shows that my life can get better and better and better in him. Amen? Now in this world, Jesus said, I'm going to have tribulation. I'm going to have problems. But I can come out of that world and come to that throne of grace and get strength to go back out in the world and live. Amen? So the first R, you got to believe it. As he is, so am I. Jesus is God's son, and he's gave me the authority to be a son and a daughter now of the Most High God. I got to see that. I've got to receive that. Turn with me to Paul's writings to the church at Galatia, Galatians chapter 3. Let's look out of the Word of God. By two or three witnesses, let everything be established, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We could read a lot here, but I won't hold you. Look at what he says in verse 26, Galatians 3:26. For ye, he's talking to those who have believed in the heart and confessed with the mouth, Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. He said, for ye are all the children of God. How? By faith in Christ Jesus. Are you trusting in Jesus this morning? And if you're trusting in Jesus, that means that you've got faith in him, and your relationship with God is not contingent on you.
Right.
Oh, come on now. Y'all may not struggle. I struggle with things. And if my relationship with God was contingent on me, I could never come boldly to the throne of grace. I would always be looking at myself and go, boy, maybe tomorrow. I'm going to try harder tomorrow. Guess what? I'll never try hard enough. Because
right.
If I could have done it on my own, I wouldn't need Jesus.
Right.
But I can't do it on my own. I have to have Jesus because I'm in a struggle. This old carnal nature tries to resurrect itself. Though my spirit has been raised with Jesus, I'm still clothed with this old man.
Right.
And so I've got to be in that place. And the Bible said what? It says, because I've got faith in Jesus, that I'm a child of God. Now, a child of God, all of a sudden, that takes us back to the reality. The Bible said, when I'm a child of God, that makes me an heir of God.
Right.
An heir of God. Now, see, we're trying to change your attitude, so let me just put this in there just for a minute. This is for somebody in specific, and so if it don't fit you, don't you worry about it. You just don't get lose the train of thought. 1 Corinthians 10:26, God owns it all. Haggai chapter 2, down about verse 8 or somewhere in there, it says, the silver and the gold are the Lord's.
Right.
So if I'm a child of God, if I'm an heir of God, then whatever I have need of, I'm attached to it because I'm attached to Jesus. As he is, so am I in the earth. Come on, the way I receive Jesus is the way I'm going to see myself. Because if I truly see Jesus as a loving Savior who wants his best for me, who will correct me. But he corrects me in love, and because he always has is best for me. If I will see him like that, and I'll see myself like that, then through this faith, then whatever I have need of that the devils want me to concentrate on. See, the devil wants me to always concentrate on what I don't have and what my flesh thinks I need. But if I let the Holy Spirit show me not what I don't have or what I think I do need, the Holy Spirit will always lift up Jesus. The Word. And when the Word gets lifted up before my eyes, then all of a sudden, that brings me up out of this moment, out of this fallen world, and it shows me that God has the answer for me.
Right.
Amen? Drop down to chapter 4, and let's read a couple of verses. Galatians 4, verse 3. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements, the rudiments, this world system of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, when there was a day when it was destined for Jesus to be born, it was a day when he was destined to go and stand before Pilate, it was destined a day that he lifted up his very spirit to God on the cross and said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, and he said, it is finished. Guess what? God dated it and ordained it, and it happened to the very second. You can count on God. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Aren't you glad? Somebody needs to hear this morning. You need to hear this very truth. This is so amazing. Adam didn't protect Eve in the garden. And so Eve was tempted and she sinned. The Bible says Adam didn't sin. He wasn't deceived. He just transgressed. He sinned knowingly. She was deceived. And so what does God do? God said, I'm going to send my son through Eve. That's why Eve's name means the mother of all living, because Jesus come through this lineage. And why am I saying that? Because somebody this morning needs to hear your biggest mistake. I don't care how big it is, Jesus can come through it. You need to hear that this morning. I don't care how big the mistake is, God can still get Jesus through that situation that's going to bring salvation, that's going to bring healing, deliverance, victory, and peace. Amen? Why did he do all of this? To redeem them, to buy back, to ransom them that were under the law. See, you and I, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so the consequence thereof, when with that knowledge it says, for all have sinned, then all must die. But Jesus was sinless, and he died in your place. Amen? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive, there's your word, mark it down, that we might receive what? The adoption of sons, that you might become adopted by God. Yeah. You're adopted this morning. So the reception, this first R of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, of many R's, is that you, all you have to do is receive it. Now, here's the deal. You can receive just a little bit. You can receive enough to be convicted of your sin, and you can confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you can be born again, and you can live the rest of your life just being a baby in Christ. But your life will be so hard, because a baby doesn't get to make decisions. A baby has to go wherever they're carried. A baby doesn't get to decide what they eat or drink or what they wear. None of those things. That's all made for them. God wants you to grow up in Him. He wants me to grow up in Him where we can make Holy Ghost-led decisions. Amen? And have a fruitful, blessed life. A child, a baby, doesn't have any responsibility. They don't have any, the only authority they got is when they come to a knowledge of understanding that they can operate in that authority. See, if we receive this word, then you grow up, I grow up, and we receive the fullness of authority. Amen. And because you are sons, God has sent forth, verse 6, and because you are sons and daughters, you're children of God, God has sent forth the Spirit. Look at this, mark this down now. The Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You're able to call God the Father your daddy. I know for some of us this is hard because, you know, if you wasn't close to your dad, and I wasn't, I mean, I spent my whole life at different situations, trying so hard. I wanted so bad to be able to say, I love you, Dad. I wanted to my whole life. I never done it because I couldn't, because those things, those words weren't spoken. We didn't talk like that. But you've got a God in heaven that's your daddy, that he wants you to let him love on you. And he wants you to shed tears, because there's going to come one day. He'll do it every day now, but there's going to come one day in the book of Revelation as we step ready into the eternity where he's going to wipe away every tear. That means every hurt will be gone forever. Amen. So will you let him be your daddy? Don't look at him. Don't see him as a God that's going, okay, this one's going to hell today. That one's going to hell tomorrow. Oh, I'm going to let this one suffer just a little bit more. That's not God. God is a good God. Look, meditate on Psalms 103. Meditate on Nahum chapter 1 and see how good God is. And God only does good things, and he has good things for you. So I've got to receive this truth. As he is, so am I. So why am I saying this? If I see Jesus as a little old weak Savior, then guess what? As he is. See, I'll never go beyond my revelation of who Jesus Christ is. You've got to open this Bible and let the Holy Spirit teach you. Not man. But the Holy Spirit wants to teach you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to show you some things that will fit you. So you may come and sit and listen to me, and there may be one sermon out of 10 that applies to you, because God's trying to minister to a whole group of people. Yeah. But when you sit down with Jesus, it's you and Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. Matthew chapter 5. Let's look at the reflection. Matthew chapter 5, and we'll just read one verse to get the thought. So the second R I want you to remember is reflect. Look at verse 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine. Remember what we read there in James 1:9, that Jesus, he is that true light, that capital L, that lights the light of men. So Jesus is your light. So don't put pressure on yourself. Don't try to be worried about, man, I don't know if I've got a 40-watt bulb, a 60-watt bulb, or not. Don't worry about any of those things. Jesus put his light in you. And you shine your light, whether it's an incandescent, or it's a spotlight, whether it's a night light, it doesn't matter. Jesus knew what light you needed, what light I needed, and he makes no mistakes.
Yes.
Amen? Why am I saying that? Because sometimes people get to looking at other people's lights, and then they get discouraged.
Yeah.
Like, I don't shine like brother so-and-so, I don't shine like sister so-and-so, so I'm just not going to shine. Uh-uh. That's a lie of the devil. Your light is needed, my light is needed, and the light that God gave us is perfect.
Yeah.
Amen? All right. Let your light so shine, notice this, before men. This is those who are not only in the house of God, but specifically and more explicitly to those who are on the outside. Let your light so shine before men that they may see, they may understand your good works. Whose good works? I can do a good work for the Lord. Oh, what a blessing. Your good works, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Oh, my goodness. Jesus, he always heard what the Father said, and when he heard it, he spoke it. He always looked into heaven, and he saw what the Father was doing, and then he done it on earth. And it said that he brought the fullness of glory to God the Father. So as Jesus is, so were we in the earth. So that means I can hear what God the Father is saying through the Son by the Spirit.
Amen.
And all I've got to do is say what Jesus is saying.
Right.
And when I say what Jesus is saying, it will produce a work in my life.
Yeah.
Let me give you an example. The Spirit of God just real. You don't hear these audible words, but you feel this bearing witness in your spirit, and you feel this unction, this move. I need to just look over at this person and just smile at them, and you know, and immediately there's a voice on the outside.
Yeah.
That voice on the outside said, "They'll think you're weird. They'll think that you're coming on to them. They'll think that you want something from them."
Right.
All of this stuff, but it's on the outside, isn't it, Brother Tony? It's not only inside. On the inside, you're feeling like they need a smile. And see, so you're in a battle. You're waging back and forth. What do I do? And you said, "Wait a minute." He said, "He gave me His light." All right, so I'm just going to step out and try God. I'm going to smile at Him. See, when you do that, then all of heaven stands at attention.
Right.
All the angels, they go, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Because they realize that you just released the glory of God, the promise of God, the love of God into a situation. Amen? But the devil doesn't want you to do that. And he uses and he works against our flesh, our soul, our mind, will, and emotions to try to paralyze our spirit. But you and I, we are going to be spirit-led, amen, and have the freedom and the liberty. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And Paul does some teaching here. We don't have time to get into all of it. But you remember when Moses went up on the mountain and he communed with God and he got the Ten Commandments and all those things. But when he come down, his face was shining. And they put a napkin on his face because as each day went by and he was away from God, the glory started departing. But see, you and I, we can look into the face of God every day.
Yeah.
We're not like Moses. We don't have just a one-time experience of being able to go and to receive the Word of God. Brother Larry, you can receive the Word of God every day, can't you? Every day.
Yeah. Oh.
The Bible says in Psalms 119, the entrance of God's Word gives light. If you want your light to shine, if I want my light to shine, I've got to take this word into my heart. But here, in the Apostle Paul is trying to teach the church at Corinth, and I want you to see something. Look what he says, for the sake of time, in verse 3. He says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." In other words, the lost, they can't see what you see. And so God wants you to reflect Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now, this is important. See, if we're, you know how you can tell if a ministry is of God or of self? See, if you're looking in the ministry and it's all about their building, it's all about their building fund, it's all about their ministry fund, it's all about wanting your dollar for their ministry. If they spend most of the time talking about what they're doing, be cautious. Be in prayer. Because the devil, he wants us to think that everything that comes in the name of church is about Jesus. And it's not. Jesus has to be the main thing. Let the main thing be the main thing. And the main thing is Jesus, this Bible. Amen? All right. Verse 4. Why is the gospel hidden to them? "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds." Come on, your mind is a part of your soul. Your mind, will, and your emotion, that's a part of your soul. That's the inside of you is your spirit. And the next part on the inside of you is your soul. And then you come out to your body. "Which has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Now, what do we do? Verse 5. "For we preach not ourselves."
Right.
It's not about me and you. Thank God we do have a testimony, and sometimes God uses those testimonies and all those things. But if we're not careful, we'll sit in a church service and everything's about my song and about my testimony and about my desire and all those things. And Jesus somewhere is left way back here. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. That's how you know somebody loves you or not. Jesus said this, by all men shall know you are my disciples if you have love one to another. Love that what? That moves you to serve. I've had people look me straight in the eye and said, oh, I love you. I'll go with you wherever you go. I ain't talked to those people in years. They looked in my eyes and lied to me. They looked in my eyes and said, oh, the Lord said for us to stick just as close to you as we could stick. Really? For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus, Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now stay with me. Look what happens. For God who shined the light, who commanded, pardon me, the light, God gave this command. Remember, let there be light. And, you know, we know that light is still going and expanding even to this day. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. Why? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know why there were certain questions I could never beg out of God? Anybody ever beg God? I was begging God, but I was wanting God to meet me in my trouble. I was wanting God to meet me in my understanding. But all I had to do was look up to the face of Jesus. And there was the truth. God's not going to meet me in my pity party. God's not going to meet me while I'm griping or talking about somebody else. Oh, God just shut himself off from me. No, I shut myself off from God. God does not shut himself off from us. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you what the Holy Ghost says. There's some people in here this morning. You need to repent. I'm just telling you just like it is. You've said some things about some people. And until you make that right with God, you're going to have a place where you're going to have your prayers are going to be hindered. Okay, I'll let that lay. He said, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. See, I was in darkness. Jesus come into my life. Light shined into me, but then it shined out. And all of a sudden, I come out of darkness and I come into the light. Amen? Amen? That's what happened to you. And so now we reflect Jesus. The religious people, he got rough on. But you notice the lady who was caught in adultery, the lady at the well, or the one that we call the demoniac from Gadara. Jesus was very what? Loving. Very kind. So the light that needs to shine out of your life and my life, we don't need to be judgmental, but we need to speak love and truth. But to those who are hindering other people, then we may need to get a little rougher. And we're not talking about engaging everybody. We're talking about as the Holy Ghost leads and guides and directs. Jesus only went as he was directed by the Father. Amen? All right, so I need to reflect. I need to reflect what God is wanting to do. Right now, this is a season where God is opening up his word. If whatever questions you have, whatever needs you have, we're in this season right now where you can sit down in the Holy Ghost and he'll answer your questions. He'll show you what you need if you will allow him to meet you, and you will meet him in that way of honesty and humility. Right. Write that down. If you'll meet him in the way of honesty and humility. I don't think you understand that. Honesty means that I come to God and I tell him exactly what I'm thinking and feeling. In all confidence that he loves me. Because see, with confession of sin, there's forgiveness. But when I hold it, When I cover it over, God can't deal with it. All right. Go with me in closing to 1 Peter. Let's talk about radiating the love of God. Now, I was praying about this, and this come to me, and so give me just a moment here. You think about in your kitchen. See, there's three types of heat. We're talking about radiating this love of God, this truth of God, all of these things. But there's three types of heat. In your kitchen, you've got conductive heat. When you set a pot on that stove and you turn on that electric stove or that gas stove, it's touching and you've got conductive heat. But it has to touch. And then some of you may have a convection oven. A convection oven, it moves the air, but it doesn't have to be. There's other ways of convection. There's convection of water, of oil, different things, and it moves the molecules. They're touching, and then they send the heat out. But as we're fixing to read just here in a minute, you and I, we're called to radiate. Radiate the love of God. And see, the radiate the love of God, it doesn't have to touch. See, when you go out in the sun, don't you love to step out on a cool fall day or cool winter day, and it's just a little cool, and here comes the sun, and you feel those rays start hitting you in the face. Oh, don't you love that? I love the way that feels. That's radiant heat. You got it in your microwave, But I just love the way that feels. So let's look, think about that as we look at this last point. In 1 Peter chapter 4, look at verse number 7. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 7. But the end, the conclusion, the purpose of all things is at hand. Listen, I'm here to tell you, we better be paying attention. It don't matter if you want to hear it or not. Like I told you, I got somebody aggravated at me, and they said, I don't want to hear that. Said, I've heard that my whole life, and he ain't never come. He's coming. Jesus is coming. And there's going to be a moment when the door of grace closes. And when that door of grace closes, then you're going to have to be saved by being a martyr. I want to be saved by grace. They will cut your head off, okay? And if you can't live for Jesus today, I don't know how in the world you're going to stand there in line and you're watching head after head roll down the ground and think that you're going to be saved. Now, we know that there are going to be some saved, yes. But I don't want to depend on that. I want to depend upon grace. All right. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober. Remember what we said the word sober means in the Bible? It means don't be influenced from the outside in, but be influenced by the Holy Spirit in your spirit. Be influenced from the inside out. Be sober, therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. In other words, stop looking at what CNN says, what Fox News says. I don't care what the president says. Don't look at any of that. You can't see the truth in any of that. You watch. You see. You understand the times of the hands of on the clock by your prayer life. God will put it in your spirit where you're at in His moment of time, and that's the only truth you can bank on. This is important now. Verse 8, and above all things, this is the key, this is the most important thing, and above all things, have fervent charity. Have this radiant love. Have this love that is without ceasing. Love that's without ceasing among yourselves. See, you need to love me, I need to love you. We're in the place where we can be, when I'm weak, you can be strong for me. And when you're weak, I can be strong for you, amen? When you're in a battle, when you're in an attack, a deep trial, it's hard to pray. And so you need brothers and sisters praying for you. I need brothers and sisters praying for me. And the only way we'll be faithful in doing that is if we have fervent charity, if we have without ceasing love, that I don't have to be right with you.
Right.
Come on, physically. But I can be right with you in the spirit. In other words, the prayer and the love of God can touch you even though I may not be right there with you. And it can change your attitude. It can bring understanding. It can build hope. It can loose the will and the plan of God in your life. Amen? You believe that? I believe it. And above all things, have this fervent without ceasing, this burning love among yourselves. Why? For charity, for love shall do what? Shall cover, glory be to God, the multitude of sins. See, Jesus is our covering. Jesus is the head. He's my head. I'm in his many-membered body. He's your head. You're in his many-membered body. He's our covering. And so we're abiding under the shadow of the Most High God. And then we're in that place of protection. And the way that I abide in there is I let the love of God come in my life. And I radiate that love. I radiate that love. And notice he said that fervent love from the... If you look at Acts 12:5, we don't have time to go there, but the same Greek word is used there. Remember, they're fixing to kill, at the Passover, they're wanting to kill God's children. And it says that prayer was made without ceasing. That's that same word. So love can't cease. Well, I love you today, but you aggravated me, so tomorrow I'm going to just... Forever love. Radiate the love of God. See, the more that I'm sorry, but I disappoint Jesus sometimes. But the more I disappoint him, you know what he does? He draws closer to me. He sees me struggling. He sees me hurting. He sees me in the battle. And then he looks and he sees what the devil's doing.
Yeah.
And his heart is moved with compassion. And he leaves all of this and he comes right to where I'm at as my head is fixing to go under. And he grabs me by the heart and lifts me up. Amen?
Sure.
That's fervent love. That's radiating love. That's love that never ceases. We got to hold on to that. Real quick, turn to chapter 1 in this same epistle. I'll let you go. For sake of time, look what it says. He's talking about, verse 22. He said, he's talking to me, seeing you have purified your souls, now your soul's not your spirit, mark that down, your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Just like you've got three parts in your body, three parts in your spirit, you got three parts in your soul. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, how did you obey it? Through the Spirit. Don't depend upon yourself. When you fall short, say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I tried to do it in self, but now I give it to you and I'm going to do it by the Holy Ghost. Unto unfeigned love of the brethren. He said, through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love, that pure love, that love without hypocrisy, that love that never stops. Unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. You're radiating the love of God. The love of God, remember 1 Corinthians 13, covers a multitude of sins. Well, actually in Peter there, but it talks about how love never fails even in the presence of sin. Amen? So, if you really love me, you're going to look over my mistakes. Not look over them and let me do them again, but you're going to look over them, not let it change your attitude toward me, but you're going to let it be a motivation factor to pray for me and maybe to help me. See, if you really love somebody, you'll tell them the truth. Sometimes it's hard, but it's so needful because we're living in a time where truth is next to the blood of Jesus, truth is the most valuable thing that we need right now on the earth. Because you're living in Isaiah chapter 5, Right has been turned upside down to wrong, and holy has been changed to profane. So we need truth. It's precious. Okay, so we got to be in that place where we say, Lord, I receive Jesus just as he is. And I know since Jesus knocked on my heart's door, he said he loved me and he wanted me to be his own. He wanted to call me his own. I receive him as Savior. But I don't just stop there. I receive him as Lord. I receive him as Rabbi, my teacher. I receive him as my healer. He wants to heal your heart this morning. He wants to heal your life. He wants to heal relationships. He's the God of restoration that wants to restore things. So I want to receive him as that. And then, say, I let God do all these things in my life where then I can radiate. And I can radiate that love to people because I'm reflecting first all that truth. Amen. I'll tell you a true story in closing. I want you to get a hold of this. You look it up on the internet. It'll bless your heart. When England and France was in war with Russia in the 1850s, well, toward the end of that war in 1854, at the Battle of Inkerman, there was an intense battle going on, and there was a Christian soldier there, and he was serving his country and doing the best he could do. But all of a sudden, here come a bullet, and that bullet got him. And when that bullet hit him, he knew that he was dying. He knew it beyond a doubt. And so as he fell to the ground, he crawled over by the side next to this tent. And as he got next to this tent, he pulled out the little New Testament that was in his pocket that some of his family gave him. And he opened up the Bible, and he opened up the Bible to our text, John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. But he died reading John 11 and 25. And when the battle was over and the commander come to where that young man lay, and he picked up the Bible out of that young man's, the front of his face there, he could see where the young man had traced in his own blood, John 11, 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. So as he lost his life right there, he knew who he was serving.
Yes.
If you know who you're serving, you know where you're going.
Yes.
Come on, we're serving Jesus this morning. And we may go through some things here on earth, but as we go through those things, that's what we're going to do. We're going to go through them, and one day we're going to cut through all this lies and the deception, and we're going to be children of the Most High God and live with Him forever. Amen. But is Jesus your resurrection this morning? Is He your life? That's the question. We got to make sure that we know that. And the way that we know that is simply trusting in Him. It's not about the church. It's not about the preacher. It's not about mom and dad. It's not about grandma and grandpa. It's not about your best friend. It's about you and Jesus. Father God, right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask that you would touch each one of us, draw us with the power of your Spirit, and help us to make sure this morning that we're in that place. That place that we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Let us start right there. Lord, I believe that you're wanting to just touch people's lives this morning and just make a strong affirmation in their life, a revelation as they call on you. Because the Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever, man, woman, boy, or girl, rich or poor, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, glory. Would you call on the name of the Lord this morning and make sure about your life? And if you're already saved this morning, there's some people in this service, you're dealing with some hurt areas in your life that the Spirit of God wants to bless you in. He wants to help you. You've met Him as Savior. Would you let Him be the great physician in your life? Would you let him touch your heart? Would you just, that doesn't mean that things are going to change instantly or overnight. It may not even change with that person. See, God can't do anything with them if they're not willing. But if you're willing, if I'm willing, he can do something with you, with me, that'll make everything right. Would you think about those things, and would you come and make yourself an altar this morning? It's not about the church, but it's about, this is a type of coming and submitting before the Lord. When you kneel down here, God's going to meet you here. Would you come and just speak to the Lord? Let him speak to you. I don't want you to leave here with any doubt. See, the moment that you call upon the name of the Lord like that, the blood of Jesus comes over your life. And then that same blood, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you.